We have been studying heroes of the faith and their demonstrations of forgiveness. And we've been watching, too, the demonstrations of those who didn't forgive and came under curses. What we've been talking about is the curse of unforgiveness. And we have great teachers in the Bible. David was an excellent teacher about forgiveness. Even in his failures, I mean, he learned, and we learn from his failures, you know. And so I'm going to kind of take up where we left off. So let's begin in 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse 2 and look at another circumstance here that we can learn from. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great. That is, at least in the eyes of the world. He wasn't great in any other way, but he was great in the eyes of the world. And he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now, the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And the woman was of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. Churlish means hard, harsh, unforgiving, critical. This man was demon-possessed. He was like Saul was. He had many of the same problems that Saul had. And he also persecuted David. Listen, all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You want to know from what quarter this is going to come from? It's going to come from angry, critical, unforgiving, bitter, jealous type people. Always it comes from those kinds of people. And here it is again. David is being persecuted. Why? Because we're not wrestling with flesh and blood here. This is principalities and powers and rulers of this darkness. It's demons that hate David. And they'll hate you if you live holy and godly in Christ Jesus. And they will use anybody they can use to come against you. It's a good thing you have authority from God. It's a good thing you're eating the lamb and you're under the Passover blessing, right? So that the death angel passes over. You exercise your faith towards the evil spirits that use people. Don't fight with the people. Exercise your faith towards those demons that use people, right? You have authority over them. Jesus said, resist not him that's evil, speaking of men, but resist the devil, speaking of spirits, right? So we need to pay attention to that. Many people waste their life arguing with men and fighting with men and, you know, defending themselves and whatever, you know. So David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. And David sent 10 young men. And David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say unto him that liveth in prosperity, peace be unto thee, and peace be to thy house, and peace be to all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers, and thy shepherds have now been with us, and we did them no hurt, neither was there aught missing unto them, all the while that they were in Carmel. So David was like the military that was protecting his flock, right? Because obviously Israel was being raided, you know, by their enemies round about. And there were thieves and so on, you know, that would steal sheep and whatever. But they were protecting Nabal's flock. Ask thy young men, and they will tell thee. Therefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good time, a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thy hand and unto thy servants and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake unto Nabal according to all these words in the name of David and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays that break away everyone from his master. Well, anybody that knew what happened knew that that's not what happened, right? That Saul was a self-serving, critical, jealous, unforgiving, demon-possessed man who was trying now to murder David. And David was fleeing for his life. But it was Nabal thought that this was to his advantage. He was obviously an unforgiving and critical person and full of selfish ambition and wanted to be great, wanted to be greater, and was greedy. And he just thought, well, this is a good justification for my ways, you know. We'll blame David. We'll slander David, you know. We'll lie about David, you know. And, of course, God heard it. And David understood it, too. And then he went on to say, shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh? Well, it's all my, right? That I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I do not know whence they are? So I'm sure David was very well known. You know, he knew about David. He just chose to justify himself by downgrading David, right? So David's young men turned on their way and went back and came and told him according to all these words. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David 400 men, and 200 abode by the baggage. So David was going to go take the man's head off, right? He had forgotten what he did just in the chapter before, you know. He had forgotten. You know, this is a problem. When a person's got power over someone else, they can abuse that power. When they're weak, they can't really abuse that power. Well, David had a position of power. And the thing that was touching David right now, I'm guessing, was anger. Unforgiveness, pride, that this man would treat him so after he had treated him so well. Isn't that a great temptation that can kind of come over you when you treat somebody good, but they return evil for your good? Well, that's what was happening here. And I'm guessing David was not giving this man personal forgiveness. Because we discovered there's two kinds of forgiveness in the Bible. There's personal forgiveness, which we always have to give to everybody. No excuses. If you don't forgive, you are not forgiven, Jesus said. But then there's also governmental forgiveness or unforgiveness. He gave in John chapter 20 his disciples authority to not forgive someone's sins. There were certain conditions upon that. The conditions were, if you look at all the types and the shadows and all the places that it was used, was when somebody was offending or defiling the body of Christ. Not you, not coming against you. You have to forgive that. But when they were doing something to defile the body of Christ, the government of the people of God had authority to not forgive this person, but to bring judgment upon him. And they did that. 1 Corinthians 5, Paul said a little leaven was leavening the whole lump because there was a man there who had his father's wife, probably his stepmother. And he turned him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit would be saved in the day of the Lord. Now, that wasn't forgiveness. That was judgment. He spoke judgment. There was Simon the sorcerer, spoke judgment. There was Hymenaeus and Alexander and Timothy who had been blaspheming, and he turned them over to Satan. That's judgment. That's not forgiveness. And Luke 17:3 says, if your brother sins, forgive him. If he repents, forgive him. If your brother repents, forgive him. That's governmental forgiveness, and it is for the purpose of defending the body of Christ. He gives this to his elders to exercise authority over people that are plundering God's people. true elders of God who believe the word of God and have been taught by the Lord, they're not defenseless against the wolves. David wasn't defenseless against the wolves. He didn't turn the other cheek when the wolves came or when the lion or the bear came to take one of the flock. You know, he fought. And sometimes there are wolves that need to be fought. And but let me say this. There's a difference. We've been put here to bear our cross for the crucifixion of the old man. We don't have authority from God to not bear our cross. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. A cross is something that is used to die on, to die to self on. So what does God tell us to do? What does he tell self to do? Resist not him that's evil. Love your enemy. Do good to them that despitefully use you. In other words, forgive. You know, if you forgive, you forgive. You don't fight with people. You don't argue with them. You don't, you know. So personally, we always have to forgive. It don't matter if it's the Apostle Paul. He had to personally forgive everybody. But if there was a wolf coming to take one of the sheep, he would defend the sheep. He would defend them from the liars, from the false prophets. He defended them. He didn't do it physically. He didn't take up any sword. That's not legal. But he did speak the word of God. He would, in fact, the Lord himself turns people over to the devil when they are walking in willful rebellion. And 1 Corinthians 5, you read it. He tells you to separate yourselves from these people who are in outward immorality, like the man who had his father's wife. And separate from them. He didn't say forgive them. He said separate from them. Somebody that's in outward immorality, fornication, or railing, or judging other people. He says cast them out. That's what he said to do. The church don't obey that. They'll cast you out for disagreeing with them, but they won't cast you out for sinning. It's just the opposite in the Bible. People can disagree with you, and you have to love them, and you have to let them grow at their own rate. But if they're in outward immorality, he said, look, don't you know a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cast out the old leaven from among you. He said, cast it out. So there has to be a place for judgment. But personally, you always have to forgive any offense against you. Now, David was getting mixed up here. It's, you know, first of all, a person who's in a position of authority, they've got to balance this in their life, and they got to come to a balance in this of personal forgiveness at the same time that they're able to apply correctly governmental unforgiveness. You got to come to that balance. If there's anything personal in you, if there's jealousy, if there's anger, you know, these things, you can't exercise the government of God. If you've got that, you can't do it. You've got to be neutral. You know, if it's a personal problem with you and you're retaliating, that is not permitted. God will judge you for that. You see? So, you know, the Bible says, be in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is made full. So you got to be obeying in your personal life before God will use you to speak a judgment over someone else. And when that happens, it's not a personal thing. And it's you don't do this except you love that person. See, Paul knew the only thing that would save this man was a chastening from the devil. Do you know who chastens you when you walk in willful sin? Quite often it's the devil. The Lord turns you over to the devil, and the devil gives you a good spanking, and you run back to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. You know, put me back under the blood, you know. And so David was getting out of balance here. You know, he had forgotten the thing that he said in 1 Samuel 24. He said, the Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but my hand shall not be upon thee. As saith the proverb of the ancients, out of the wicked cometh forth wickedness, but my hand shall not be upon thee. And, you know, Saul said that he had rendered unto David evil, and David had rendered back to him good. And that's what Jesus commanded us to do. He said, overcome evil with good. Paul said it in Romans chapter 12, overcome evil with good. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. The Lord said, don't you do it, I will do it. If you do it, he won't do it. If you defend yourself and you repay and you retaliate and you spank that person for doing you evil, then God won't touch him. You've already done it. Why should he? He'll have to spank you because you're rebelling against God. He told you to resist not in its evil. He told you to love your enemies. He told you to overcome evil with good, and you're rebelling against it. Now, David's flesh tempted him just like every man's flesh tempted him. He was tempted here to take Nabal's head off. And it wasn't it wasn't personal forgiveness at all. His pride was getting a hold of him. His anger and his unforgiveness was getting a hold of him. And it would have brought a curse upon him. Let's read on. And David said unto his men, gird ye on your sword. Okay, we got that part. And 400 men followed David, and 200 stayed by the baggage. In verse 14, but one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed at them. You know what the word rail is? It's in 1 Corinthians 5, 2. It's one of those sins that God says, separate yourself from them. In 1 Corinthians 5, the word is blasphemio. It's the same word for blaspheme. You know, some people think blaspheming is only something you can do against God, but it's not true. The word blaspheme just means to speak against. You can speak against God, but you can also speak against men in the Bible. Railing is quite often used. It's the same word, but it's used quite often for speaking against men. And they like to use blaspheme, which is really not a translation. It's using the original Greek word in the New Testament when they're talking about God. But there's really no difference. You can speak against God and you can speak against men. Okay, and so he railed at them. And that was a separation offense. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, if you've got somebody in your church that rails at people, that, in other words, that's all they want to do is go around and speak against. It just means speak against. They go around speaking against other people, most often behind their back. You need to separate from that person. That's an evil spirit. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. That spirit will get into you. You'll listen to that, and you'll start speaking against people too. You don't want to listen to that. You need to put that person out. You need to separate from that person. If your church won't separate from that person, you separate. You separate from that person. Because that's commanded in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Okay, just like fornication. Anybody that's in fornication, you separate from them. You're commanded to. A drunk, the same thing. You know, and nowadays it can be a drug addict. You know, same thing. You know, anybody that comes in your church and wants deliverance from these things, you're supposed to help them. In every way you possibly can. You're supposed to, you know, be a vessel through whom God can deliver them. Okay, but if they're justifying it, and they're going to continue on, and they want you to forgive them, and so you can defile the whole church, oh, no, you're not supposed to do that. No, you cannot forgive them. I'm talking about you cannot forgive them for the kingdom of God. Personally, you forgive them, but you cannot forgive them for the kingdom of God. There's a difference there. That's where you have to get personal forgiveness separated from your governmental forgiveness. We don't want the body defiled by a bunch of immoral sinners, right? So he railed at them, this man said, this servant of Nabal. He railed at them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we went with them. And when we were in the fields, they were a wall unto us, both by night and by day. And all the while we were with them, keeping the sheep. Now therefore, know and consider what thou wilt do. He's still speaking to Nabal's wife, Abigail, who was a woman of good understanding, the Bible says. Know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all of his house. For he is such a worthless fellow that one cannot speak to him. So his servants didn't respect him either because he was evil. And his wife, obviously, as you read on, you find out his wife didn't respect him either because he was evil. And he rewarded evil for good. that's something that we find harder to take than a lot of things. You know, when we treat somebody kindly and we do them good and we bend over backwards and we pray for them and we, you know, take care of them, and yet they do us evil. We find that hard to stomach, you know. And yet the Lord says, you go to your cross and you just turn the other cheek and you love your enemy and you do them good. And you overcome evil with good. Now, David was doing that, and it convicted Saul so bad that he started crying. You know, this old hardened warrior started crying. And he was hardened in his sins, too, you know, and he started crying, you know. David was overcoming evil with good. That's what he was doing. So they're giving the bad report to Abigail here, and Abigail figures out that they're saying, uh-oh, David's coming to get us, you know. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched grain and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said unto her young men, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on her ass and came down by the covert of the mountain, that behold, David and his men came down towards her, and she met them. And David had said, surely in vain have I kept all this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath returned me evil for good. Now David was wrong there. You don't do anything in vain that you do that's right. But the devil was attacking his mind here, you see. And he wasn't thinking good. And this is so he was going to go and retaliate, you know. Anything you do right, you do it for the Lord. The Lord is watching. He will reward you. Men may not, but he will, right, for doing what's good, right? In verse 22, God do so unto the enemies of David, and more so, if I leave of all that pertaineth unto him by the morning light so much as one man child. So David was saying, I'm going to wipe them out. He had laid it on the side, you know. He'd been overcome by this situation, you know. And he was laying it on the side. But like he said to Saul, the Lord judge between me and thee. He's the judge, right? The Lord avenge me of thee, you know, but my hand shall not be upon thee. And, you know, David spoke in Psalm 35, let me read this to you. We'll come back to this. Psalm 35 and verse 11. This was David's psalm. And he said, unrighteous witnesses rise up. They ask me of things that I know not. Of course, Nabal was an unrighteous witness of David. He had slandered him and criticized him, and he was wrong about David. They reward me evil for good, to the bereaving of my soul. It does bereave your soul when they do that. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth, and I afflicted my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. Notice that. He prayed for these people. He fasted and prayed for these people, but his prayer returned into his own bosom. In other words, God blessed him. He blessed him for praying for his enemies, but it didn't seem to do the enemies any good because the enemies were returning evil for good, and the Bible tells you that anybody that does that, evil will not depart from their house. How can God bless somebody like that? But God likes the fact that you obey what Jesus said, for instance, in Matthew chapter 5, and pray for your enemies. And do good for those. I mean, that shows your heart's right. Now, that person may not deserve it and may not get it. But if your heart's right, God will bless you. He's telling you to do this. You know, beseech God. Ask him to bless your enemies. You know, I remember one time there were two people years ago in this assembly, and I had served them for many years faithfully. I had asked nothing for doing that. My reward was the fact that I was serving them and I was meeting their spiritual needs. And the woman had a problem. She had a Jezebel spirit, and she wouldn't repent of it. And the husband had a problem, too. He had an Ahab spirit, and he was going to listen to anything she had to say. He couldn't hear the Lord because he was going to obey his wife instead. And basically, she was running him ragged, but he was one of the types that just, you know, was going to listen to her and not the Lord. And I'd actually seen him when his wife was out of town. He was a totally different person when he wasn't under her thumb. You know, he was totally different. I loved to see him when he was free, you know, but he wasn't free. He was in bondage. So anyway, this woman kept getting dreams. She'd get some really powerful dreams, and they were about her, and they were rebuking her. And she had got these dreams for years about... Basically, they were rebuking her for, dreams like her hair was dark when it was actually red, but her hair was black. You know, hair is a type in 1 Corinthians 11 of submission. And God uses the black hair on somebody that don't have black hair. It's a sign that this person is submitted to darkness. She was submitted to evil spirits. And she was ruling over her husband and leading him instead of him being able to hear the Lord, follow the Lord, and lead her as the Bible commands. Okay? So, anyway, after a few years of this, she quit bringing her dreams to me because I was interpreting them and they were correcting her and she didn't want to be corrected no more. And she was a little bit miffed about it. And I asked her one day, I said, "You're not getting any dreams anymore?" And she says, yeah, but I'm interpreting myself. I says, "Oh, okay, no problem." But she and her husband got to a place where they decided they were going to come against me, basically because, I wasn't correcting her, out of bounds or anything. I was mostly just interpreting her dreams. I thought, okay, Lord, you're correcting her, and I don't have to correct her if you're correcting her, and he was. In fact, if she'd taken them to anybody else, they would have given her the same interpretation. I'm quite sure of it. And so, but anyway, they began to rail against me. And I just prayed for them. Lord, help them, deliver them, set them free, you know. Well, the Lord didn't hear my prayer. Because when they started railing against me, God made both of them sick. She was sick for a solid month. Couldn't go to work or nothing. She was sick. And he was sick at the same time. For 6 weeks, both of them were just totally sick. They couldn't go to work or nothing. And I was praying for them. They asked me to pray for them. I prayed for them. They didn't repent of what they'd done to me. And I wasn't demanding them to repent of that. But they asked me to pray, so I prayed for them. And, you know, the Lord wasn't hearing my prayer. He wanted me to forgive them to the extent that I would pray for them. But he just wasn't hearing my prayer. He was spanking them good, you know. And then when they got out of that, they just kept on with their, you know, railing against me. And she got in a wreck and crushed her foot and, you know, wrecked her car all up. And so they lost their car. And, you know, this was God correcting them. I mean, he wants you to forgive to the extent that you won't have no problem praying for somebody because you love them and you want their best. Listen, when Paul turned the man over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit would be saved in the day of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 5:5. When he did that, it wasn't because he was angry. He did that because he loved this man. He wanted this man to be saved. You know, the Bible talks about chastening a child, you know, and not setting your heart on destroying them. If you don't chasten a child, you'll destroy them. Spare the rod, spoil the child, the Bible says. Well, how do you chasten somebody that's... You can't take a stick and whip somebody that's in the church. No, but that's what the devil does. You can turn them over to the devil. I'm not recommending this as anything anybody should do outside of God. Only God can judge. And if he leads an elder to do this and they do this, it will work when nothing else will work. You can be kind to this person. It won't help. You can accept them in your assembly and forgive them. It won't help. They're going to have to go through a chastening. And as long as you're praying for them, in many cases, God's not going to do that. But when you exercise authority to do this, like Paul did in Timothy and in 1 Corinthians, if the Lord leads you to do it, and it's not you judging but Him judging, let me tell you, it'll work better than anything else will work out there. Because they got to know you got authority. I turned one woman over who was taking serious disadvantage of people in the church, and God jumped on her. I mean, the demons jumped on her, and just, you know, she got deathly sick. And she cried out to the Lord in her sickness. She couldn't even get out of her bed. She was laying in her own waste and puke in her bed, crying out to God to save her. And the Lord said, "You sinned, and you've been turned over to the devil." That's what He told her. She called me up on the phone. "David, I've been so sick, I can't get out of bed." You know, and the Lord said, "You've been turned over to the devil." I said, "Yeah, that's right. You have been turned over to the devil. And you got to repent." I says, "The Lord told me to turn you over to the devil. And you got to repent." So she cried out to the Lord. Says, "Lord, just if you just take this off of me, I will go and confess my sins to that assembly that I've done." You know, and sure enough, she came into our assembly, and she confessed her sins, the things that she was doing against other people. And listen to this. She went right back home, and as soon as she went home, this sickness fell on her again. She was right back in her bed. And she said, Lord, I did what You told me to do. I went, I confessed my sins." She called me up. She said, "David, I did what the Lord told me to do, and when I came back home, I got sick again." I said, "Well, yes, you did. You came and you confessed your sin, and that's good, and I believe we should forgive you and command you to be healed." And I did. I commanded the demons to loose her and that she would be healed, and she was. You see, what she needed was respect for elders. She had no respect for elders, men in authority. She didn't have any respect for that. And the Lord made sure that she understood that a real elder is not helpless. When you're defiling the body, when you are offending people, and you are bringing a curse on, that an elder is not defenseless. They have authority. You know, Jesus said, "I give you authority over all the power of the devil." Did you hear what He said? "I give you authority over the devil's power." You know, a man was smitten blind when the apostles spoke in the book of Acts. Ananias and Sapphira fell dead when an apostle spoke in the book of Acts. They had authority to speak for God. Now, it was God doing the work. You couldn't blame the man. He was just the mouthpiece, that's all. But God has authority to chasten people that are trying to destroy His body. Now, David, you know, was trying to exercise faith for people that were rewarding him evil for good. And God has already told us that, hey, anybody that rewards evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. You can pray for that person, but evil will not depart from his house. So let me read on here a little bit. Verse 14, "I behaved myself as though it had been my friend or my brother. I bowed down mourning as one that bewaileth his mother. But in mine adversity they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. The abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not." And I've had that happen to me too. I find out only later that people have been chewing on me, you know. I've done good to them, but they're going to do evil to me. Or they didn't like what I taught because it was coming against their flesh, and they really wanted to go that way, you know. So they decided to, let's chew on David a while, you know. So, you know, the wicked bend their bow and shoot in darkness at the upright, the Bible says. In other words, they shoot them in the back, you know. "They did tear me and ceased not, like the profane mockers at feasts. They gnashed upon me with their teeth. Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. I will give thanks in the great assembly. I will praise thee among much people. Praise the Lord. So he prayed. And, you know, like I said, sometimes people, you know, you can pray for somebody who's exercising unbelief and they are doubt and they walk in double-mindedness, and the Bible says there won't be an answer. Well, here's another reason there won't be an answer. If a person's returning evil for good, there won't be an answer. If a person's walking in willful disobedience, rebelling against the Lord, you know, the Bible says if we sin willfully after we receive a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sins, but a certain, fearful expectation of judgment, which shall devour the adversaries. So God is saying, if you walk in willful rebellion against God, he'll spank you. I mean, people can pray for you, but he's still going to spank you. You know? So repent. Repent. Turn to God. Repent of your evil. Don't walk in willful rebellion against God. There is no forgiveness for that until you get a spanking. You got to pay a penalty for that, you see. Now, Jesus will take the penalty. You repent. You turn away from your sins. Jesus will take the penalty. But if you walk in willful rebellion, he won't do it. So back in 1 Samuel 25 here, Abigail had gathered up some things to bring to David to meet his needs and his men's need. In verse 21, David had said, "Surely in vain I have kept all this fellow's stuff in the wilderness." And he was now angry and ready to take out his whole family. In verse 23, "And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and alighted from her ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground. And she fell at his feet and said, 'Upon me, my Lord, upon me be the iniquity. And let thy handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine ears, and hear thou the words of thy handmaid. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this worthless fellow, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him.'" Nabal means fool. Now, who would name their little kid fool, right? But that's what they did. And, you know, he was living out his name, obviously. "Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thy handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send. Now, therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from blood guiltiness and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now, therefore, let thine enemies and them that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal." So, Sheba saying the Lord was attempting to withhold him from blood guiltiness, because obviously she wasn't guilty, but Nabal was, you know. And her children maybe weren't guilty, you know, but Nabal was. And from avenging thyself with thine own hand. You know, that's a big problem. You know, the Lord tells us in Romans chapter 12, let me read that to you. He says in verse 14, "Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not." Verse 17, "Render to no man evil for evil. Take thought for things honorable in the sight of all men." Listen, you can't do this unless you forgive a person. This, what Jesus is saying to do here through the Apostle Paul, what the Lord is saying through Paul, can't be done if you don't forgive, give up bitterness, so on and so forth. This is a manifestation of forgiveness here. It's a render to no man evil for evil. If you forgive them, you're not going to retaliate. You're not going to wish any evil upon them, right? "Take thought for things honorable in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as in you lieth, be at peace with all men. Avenge not yourselves, beloved." This is what David was doing. And she was, by the grace of God, reasoning with him to not do this. "Avenge not yourselves, beloved, but give place unto the wrath. And I know that some people put of God in there, but it wasn't in the original. It's give place unto the wrath of whatever this person is doing against you. Yeah. Give place unto the wrath. But he says, for it is written, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. Listen, the Lord said he will recompense. You don't have to retaliate. The Lord said he will do it. If you retaliate, you're rebelling against his word. He will spank you for retaliating. Okay? But if you don't do it, he will. He said, avenge not yourselves, beloved, but give place unto the wrath, for it is written, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. But if thine enemy hunger, feed him, and if he thirst, give him to drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So, there was very few people in the Old Testament that understood this principle, but David was one of them, and Abigail was another one. You know, they understood this, and she was saying something to him that he understood. You know, I mean, it was common for people in David's position to take out their enemies, but he was an unusual person, you know. He was an unusual person. He was a man after God's heart, the Bible said. He wanted God's heart, you know. You know, the Lord said, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, I'll read that to you, Matthew 5 and 38. But I say unto you, resist not him that is evil. But whosoever smiteth thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man would go to law with thee and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go 1 mile, go with him 2. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee turn thou not away. You have heard that it was said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. And pray for them that persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. So, he said, that you may be sons of your Father. If you want to be a son of God, not just a child of God, because there is a difference in the Scriptures. And the Son, of course, is one who is manifesting the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, and that is Jesus Christ. If you're manifesting Jesus Christ, then you're going to do what he's telling you here. Love your enemies, turn the other cheek, resist not him that's evil. And verse 46, and if we love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? In other words, he wants you to be kind to your enemies. The world don't know anything about this, folks. You got if in the world, when they have enemies, they fight with them. Between nations, there's wars. Kills lots and lots of people. That's a thing of the world. It has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has no such thing in it. And no, God does not call you to do that. Take up the sword against your enemies. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the worldly church says. Jesus forbids it. You're either going to obey Jesus or you're going to obey what the apostate religious leaders tell you. You know, war is from the flesh. You know, James spoke severely against war. And if you take the sword, you're going to die by the sword. That's what the Lord said. You therefore shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So he's merciful with the unjust, and he wants us to be too, right? And now this present which thy servant hath brought unto my Lord, let it be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. Forgive, I pray thee, the trespass of thy handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord. I guess there was a sly meaning underneath this, that You ought to be just fighting the battles of the Lord, not your own, right? He fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil shall not be found in thee all thy days. And though man be risen up to pursue thee, and to seek thy soul, yet the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life. Literally, the word here is though the living. We will be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord thy God. And the souls of thine enemies shall he sling out as from the hollow of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee prince over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee. That is, that he would have avenged himself by his own hand and been guilty of blood. And this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood without cause, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. And when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thy handmaid. And he sure did that too, didn't he? And David said to Abigail, Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy discretion, and blessed be thou, that hast kept me this day from blood guiltiness, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord, the God of Israel, liveth, who hath withholden me from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted and came to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light so much as one man-child. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and he said unto her, Go up in peace to thy house. See, I have hearkened unto thy voice, and have accepted thy person. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he had was very drunken. Therefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. It wouldn't do any good, would it? 37. And it came to pass in the morning that when the wine was gone out of Nabal, that his wife told him these things, and his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal so that he died. Well, it was certainly true. David didn't defend himself. He didn't avenge himself. And the Lord kept his word, as we've seen in Romans chapter 12. He avenged David. Had David done that, of course, he wouldn't have avenged David. David avenged himself. Wouldn't you rather the Lord do it? It's such a great testimony when the Lord does it, you know, and not you. First of all, you bring judgment on yourself when you do that. And you're forbidden to do that, as the Lord clearly tells us. And that's part of bearing our cross. Self wants to defend self. Self wants to be unforgiving. Self wants to be bitter. Self wants to demand its pound of flesh, you know. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, says the Lord, you know, resist not in this evil. Love your enemy. Do good to them that spite. In other words, forgive. Forgive. Forgive, and God will forgive you, right? And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept back his servant from evil. And the evil doing of Nabal hath the Lord returned upon his own head. And David sent and spake concerning Abigail to take her to him to wife. So he didn't forget Abigail at all, did he? And then there's another story, but we might save that for some other time. So many good examples in the scriptures, you know, concerning this. And I'd like to come to a better balance between the governmental forgiveness and the personal forgiveness, too.